there's happiness. And, you know, it's been an awesome place. I think one of the cool things that happened was last night when one of the brothers came up, and he was just so excited about the workout room that was down here.
Yeah.
In the game room. And I think it helped me to see something that was really interesting. But when there's something you're excited about, you just want to share it with other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope this whole conference, this whole retreat, has made you excited to share something for God. And, you know, out in Brooklyn, where I'm from, there's things I like to share out there, too. And we have this place called the Slice of Brooklyn, which is the best pizza spot in New York City, I think. And it's amazing, and I try to get every single person I can get to go there and check it out. Paris went there. I haven't gotten Victor there yet, but it's an incredible, incredible place. And I think with God, it's the same way. With God, He has things He wants to share with us. He's excited about things, and He wants us to come and see it. But it's not just a weight room, and it's not a cool slice of pizza. Let's go to Mark 25. Matthew 25. Thanks, bro. In verse 21, what has just happened is these servants were given talents. And with these talents, they're expected to do different things. One guy had 10 talents. One guy had 5 talents. One guy had, I think, 1 talent. And so they all have to report back to the master. And how much did you get? And so the first guy takes his 10 talents and gets 10 more. And we'll pick it up in verse 21. It says, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And so you see something interesting. You see that the servant was responsible for what he was given. And then God says, okay, now I want you to come see something. And I think for us as disciples, God has this kind of heart. Where for us, he's like, you know what? You've been a faithful disciple. Let me show you something. I want to show you something. Like, come here, come here. And he takes you around heaven. And he's like, check this out. Let me show you this. And he opens the door and there's 10,000 angels right there. And as it opens, you hear the like a, and then he shuts it again. You're like, that's the angel room. And then he goes over and he's like, remember the Leviathan back in Job? Well, here's where it really is. And he shows you the Leviathan. And you're like, yeah. All the guys are probably fired up about that one. And then, you know, you keep going, and then he shows you, like, this other room. And he's like, here's where I knit your soul together. And you're like, whoa, this is where I was made. My soul, that's intense. And then he's like, oh, and over there, that's Jesus' throne. And that's how God is. God's a hospitable God. God wants to show us around. God wants to share the happiness. And a lot of times when we're happy about something, we want to share it with other people. And that's exactly how God is with us when we're good and faithful servants. Now, also, when we're wicked and lazy servants, he puts us somewhere else. If you look at verse 30, it says, throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be that servant. Amen? We don't want to be there. Now, let's look at some scriptures. I'll just read them real quick, of things that God says about what He has prepared for us.
Wow.
So Matthew 25, same chapter, look at verse 34. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
Wow.
1 Peter 5:4 says, and then the chief shepherd appears. When he appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Wow.
Hebrews 11:16, it says, instead, it's talking about disciples, instead they were longing for a better country.
Yeah.
A heavenly one.
Wow.
Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them.
Wow.
And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has something awesome prepared for us. And He wants to share it. And He says, I got something that's going to make you so happy. Come check it out. It's eternal life. It's something that'll crown your crown of glory forever. And we all get to share it. Is that incredible? And God just wants to show us. God's so fired up about it. He's like, I prepared it for you. Like, I've been working on this for you. It's not just like, oh, you get to join the crowd and jump up on the bandwagon. No, I've made this for you. And that's amazing that God has that. He wants us to come and share in His happiness. You know, in life it's always useful to have like an example, right? Like, okay, I need an example. What does this good and faithful servant look like? Right? And, you know, when you look at the life of a good and faithful servant and fellow brother, you can look at the life of Paul and see what he really wants us to be like.
Yeah.
Let's go to 2 Timothy 4.
Come on, bro.
I'm still humming that song, too, by the way. And in 2 Timothy 4, this is at the end of Paul's life. Paul's already, well, his first name was Saul, which means asked for. He was named after the best or the first king of Israel. When he changed his name to Paul, after he became a disciple, Paul just means little. Did you ever know that?
Wow.
He's just little. And then he starts going on his missionary journey. He does all these different things. And let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearance.
Wow.
And Paul's saying, you know what? I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I kept the faith. And God has something prepared for me now.
Wow.
And then he says, oh, and also everybody else who longs for his appearing. See, because Paul knew that God was waiting to share his happiness with him.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing that Paul saw that. And you look at Paul's life. What was his life like? He was a good and faithful servant. He was the one who was out there working. He was the one that was out there doing exactly what needed to be done. So when you wonder, okay, what is a good and faithful servant's life look like? Well, then you can go no further than the life of Paul in the Bible. Isn't that awesome? So you can see exactly what it's supposed to look like simply by opening your Bible. Because sometimes like, well, this good and faithful servant multiplied his talents. But what does that mean? Like, how do I do that? I live in 2010. Paul lived back in 30 to about 60 AD. So what do we do now? So we get to look at the Bible and see what it says. Point one, fight the good fight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul talking to the 1 Corinthians. Or talking to the Corinthians. I don't know if they're the first ones. It was the first book. And in verse 9, he says, chapter 3. Let's take it back in verse 8. It says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. You know, when Paul talks about the good fight, what he means is the honorable games. When he actually translated out, Paul's talking about the games that are worth something. Because we've all been kind of, I've been a part of a lot of games that are totally worthless. You know, I've done a lot of things that don't really add up to anything in the end. And then Paul's saying, you know what? I'm part of the games that really do matter. The things that really will make a difference in the end. And I think for us, you know, especially as young people, there's a lot of games going on out there. But Paul's saying, I'm a part of the honorable games. I'm a part of the games that really make a difference. Not just now. But these games will make a difference for how long?
Eternity.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And that's the fight we're fighting right now. That's the good fight. And who's our co-worker?
God.
Yeah. For we are God's fellow workers.
Wow.
So imagine you're going into work, you're punching in your time clock or your stamp or whatever, and then God's right there behind you say, hey, I need to get in. I need to clock in too. God's your co-worker. That kind of like raises your job expectation, right? Like, man, he always gets it right. I can't keep up with him. He's so good. And, you know, it's awesome to have a fight and be in the fight with God. And, you know, have you ever been with your coworkers? Like, you know, for me, I used to work in a restaurant. And after you work all day, you're just exhausted. You're just like, man, that was a rough day. And so what do? You go sit down with your coworkers, and you're like, let's just eat. And what happens? You talk. Right? Hopefully you do. I'm just keeping it simple. Like, I just need to, you know. And then from there, you start building a bond. You start building a relationship with your coworkers. And you start getting close to them. And you see that, man, why does a good fight matter so much in sharing your master's happiness? Because when you're in the battle, you're able to bond with God. Because he's your coworker. You know, and he's like, man, that was a rough day. And you're like, yeah, that was hard. We really worked it. But at the end of the day, you get to sit there and talk to God about how awesome the day was. Or maybe how bad the day went. But God's your coworker. God's there with you. And God wants it to be awesome, no matter what. And God has a purpose for the rest of your life. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
The Bible's awesome. It's encouraging. And you know, for us as disciples, I think like it's awesome to see when we have that attitude with each other, we can really bond with one another.
Wow.
You know, like when you're out there doing Bible studies with somebody else, there's a bond that happens with that other person. There's a closeness that happens. And a lot of times we're playing the dishonorable games thinking there's another way to do it when we just got to get out there and fight the good fights. And God's our fellow co-worker and so are the disciples. And then we start getting close to him. You know what I'm saying? And when you're not working very hard, what do your coworkers think at the end? They kind of like isolate you. You're kind of sitting by yourself over on that one table. And they're all sitting somewhere else. And it's just, you're not really getting along too well with them, right? And I've felt like that sometimes. I've been at work and I'm like, man, what's going on? And I realize, you know what? I'm just not a very hard worker. And so that's why I'm just not really getting along with my fellow coworkers right now. Because I'm not working very hard. And it's not really their fault. Whose fault is it? My fault. I'm the one that's not working hard. I'm the one that's holding back. I'm the one that's not involved like everybody else is involved. And so then it's like there's this weirdness. And then I'm trying to fix the weirdness, right? But all I got to do is just work hard from the beginning. So where am I going with this? Well, you probably already know. But for us to be united with each other, we need to be working hard together. For us to share in our master's happiness, we also need to share in the work that our master does. And so we need to make sure we're working just like God is working, and for us to also have the same passion and intensity about the work that he does. If we don't, it is very hard to really be close to God. A lot of times we think, okay, I'm just going to have a really long quiet time and get close to God. But until you get out there and start doing the work, it's never going to click the way you want it to click. And a lot of times people spend their whole lives, why am I not close to God? Why are things not working? Why do I feel so depressed? It's because you're not sharing in his happiness because you're not doing the work. And you just got to say, man, I got to work with them. You know, and a lot of times that's the thing we don't want to do. Why? Because we're lazy. It's a lot nicer to be chilling at the beach praying and reading your Bible than it is going to campus and just sharing with people who think you're a total reject. You know what I'm saying? But when you're with other disciples sharing like total rejects, you guys become super, super close. And then you realize, man, it's awesome to be a disciple. This is awesome. I love sharing in my master's happiness. And that's what Paul did. And for me, I think, as I wasn't doing that, I started using sin to numb the pain. You know, like, I started allowing, okay, since I wasn't working the way I need to work, my heart started feeling the pain because I started feeling something missing. So guess what I started doing? I started using something else to cover the pain.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what sin does for us. Like, for us, when it gets hard and we don't go to God, there's only one other place you can go to.
Yeah. That's right.
Sin.
That's right.
You go to sin because it covers up the pain.
Yeah.
And who knows what choice of sin it is that you go to.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have different choices. Sometimes we have same choices. But the sin is there to cover up the pain. But it doesn't go away.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you're covering up the pain through sin, your heart just starts getting hard.
Yeah.
And it gets really, really hard. And then eventually, if you don't deal with it, you end up falling away.
Right.
And for me, that's exactly what happened in my life. Is I was in the church but not doing the work, and my heart got hard, and it just got harder and harder, and I just used more and more sin, impurity,
yep.
Lying,
yep.
And it took me out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for us, I'm not just saying this just like for entertainment, but there's that going on in the room right now. That's happening in here. And until you talk about it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And if it gets worse and worse and worse, there's only one place that you're heading to. And it's not a good place. And I've been there. And that's what, like in Luke 11, the seven demons are going to come on back. They're waiting there. They're waiting for you to leave. And they're going to tear you apart when you do. And so that's why we got to be careful. Okay, I got to be careful. I can't allow for... that is, but I can't allow for that sin to take me out. I got to be open about it.
Amen.
You know, my best friends in Jesus are the guys that I work the hardest with in the kingdom. And when I work hard, I get close to them. And the relationships that I have that are lasting relationships are the people that I've been open with and the people that I've been real with and been humble with. And the guys that I haven't worked with and are just kind of cool in the fellowship, then they're gone. They don't even talk to me anymore. There's a time for me back in the campus ministry where you would look at a photo and there is like 25 of us. And out of all those people, only two were left.
Wow.
And it's scary to think, man, what could happen here? It's not like we're any better. They were fired up back then too. They sang songs just as loud as we did. And they read their Bibles, the same Bible. And they had the same prayer in the morning. Maybe not the same exact one, but they prayed. That'd be crazy if they did have the same prayer. Amen. But I think we got to see, okay, we really got to be on our guard. Okay, am I working hard? Am I sharing in the happiness like that? Amen? Mm. Let's go to Philemon 6.
Come on,
Mike.
Talk about it.
This one's plain and simple.
Great scripture, bro.
For me, it took me a long time to realize how useful this one was here.
Yeah. Good stuff, Mike.
Okay, Philemon 6. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ.
Wow.
So, are we supposed to share our faith only to help reach out to other people?
No.
No. Sharing our faith helps us. And so, a lot of times, like for me, I'm like, why is things getting so hard right now? Like, why do I feel so depressed? Why do I feel like things are just not where they need to be? And there's one reason. It's because I'm just not sharing my faith because I don't understand every good thing I have in Christ. And if I would just share my faith, I would understand how awesome it is. And for me, I thought, okay, well, then I'm going to go out and invite people to church. But just doing that isn't really sharing your faith. As much as we think it is. Like, I thought it was. I'm like, dude, I shared my faith with 20 people today. Why do I feel so down? But until you get them down into the Word of God, it's not going to be the way it needs to be for their faith to be strengthened. And I think, you know, you see, okay, I need to get in there. I need to get my Bible study going on. Because that's what it means to really start seeing how much you have in Christ. How can we share in our master's happiness? Well, if you're not sharing your faith, you're not going to be sharing in your master's happiness. Because you're not going to understand the great things you have in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not easy to understand when you're not teaching other people, when you're not talking about it, when you're not talking about what you're grateful for, and when it just seems like, okay, I'm just going to go do my daily routine, and hopefully God's going to come give some stuff to me, and we're not asking, what can I do for God? Instead, what can God do for me?
Right.
And when that happens, it takes you out spiritually. And we don't really see what God's plan for us is. God has made it that in order to share in His happiness here on earth, we have to share our faith. Psalm 18. Let's go here. Amen. Psalm 18. It says in verse 20, it says, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has rewarded me. For I kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All His laws are before me. I have not turned away from His decrees. I have been blameless before Him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His sight." So, you see right here, there's something going on that as you're righteous, God's able to reward you. And so, for us, it's seeing, okay, a lot of times you just think, well, if I pray a lot, God's going to reward me. Or even if I go share my faith a lot, God's going to go reward me. But until you start living the righteous life, God still can't reward you. And a lot of times we want to share in our master's happiness, but part of sharing in our happiness is living the righteous life so God can bless us. Because for me, a lot of times I think, okay, I want to do things the right way, but I wouldn't. And then I get an attitude towards God because it wouldn't go my way. And I'd be like, God, my heart started raging against the Lord. And it was just ridiculous. Like, how useless is that to be? And then what I ended up doing is just wearing myself out. You know, like it just got harder and harder, and I got more and more angry towards God, and then I drew further and further away, and then guess what? It got harder and harder and harder after that. And then it's just like, man, it's just this cycle of just going down, going down. And what ends up happening is there's this like, this roller coaster that you're on, this like spiritual roller coaster. And you're up here, and then all of a sudden you feel like it's good. You're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, man, life is great. And then something happens, and you just, oh, this is tough right now. Oh, I'm down here. But then when you're down here and things are going rough, since I wasn't really, okay, I'm going to live according to righteousness, I would give into sin. And then instead of coming back up, I just stay down there. And then it just takes you out. It takes you down. And a lot of times as disciples, instead of relying on God, we decide, okay, I'm going to rely on my own stuff here.
Right.
I'm going to go back to the things I used to go to before so I can fix the pain that I'm in right now.
Right.
Instead of training ourselves, no, I got to go back to God.
Right.
When you work out, there's an interesting thing, and I just learned this a few weeks ago. When you're doing curls, I was with this guy, Vic Gonzalez, and he was like, no, he's like, Mike, I was doing them and I was going outside. As I was lifting it, basically like this. And he's like, no, you got to stay inside, like that. And we sat for 45 minutes. I was like, why do I have to do that? Like, it just makes more sense to go out here. It's easier.
Yeah.
My body's stronger when I do that. So why don't I just do that? And he's like, because it's wrong. And then he went for like 30 minutes trying to explain through the Bible, because like I'm the minister of the church. He's like, well, maybe if I explain through the Bible, he'll understand. But I was like, no, bro, just tell me exactly what it is. You know, like, just give me the straight up right here. And so afterwards, I was walking, and I was thinking, I was like, the reason why my body wants to go like that is because it's easier.
Right.
But in the end, what's going to happen? I'm going to injure myself.
Yeah.
And for us, a lot of times, we want to take the easy way out. Our bodies want to go the easy way out.
Yeah.
And instead, you end up injuring yourself.
Wow.
And you never grow.
Wow.
And you never become what God really wants you to become.
Yeah.
And it's up to you. It's your decision. Like, it's my decision if I want to do better spiritually or not.
Right. Yeah.
But for you too, it's your decision.
Right.
Do you want to do better spiritually? God blesses you according to your righteousness.
Yep.
And if you're not righteous, God can't bless you.
Right.
That's just the way He set up the world.
Yeah.
And so we got to understand, if I'm righteous, then God will bless me.
Right.
So I need to get open about my life so that God can bless this right here. Let's go to John 3:19. This is a scripture that, like during different lessons, we're doing studies. I was like, okay, I got to start putting this in because I think for a lot of religious people, this is something that they don't like to hear at all. And sometimes when we do like the light and darkness study with somebody, we'll get into the sin confession, and as you're confessing sin, they start like shaking. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like you start sharing your sin with somebody, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on right now? This is scary. And so I was like, okay, maybe if I prep them a little bit, they'll be able to understand the truth. Verse 19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God.
Wow.
And for me, a lot of times, man, it's hard to get open about my sin. Because I don't want to look stupid, like we were talking about before. I don't want to look like an idiot. And a lot of times, for everybody, it's hard to get open about your sin. But what shows you if you love the light or not? If you get open about it. That's when you know. That's when God knows, do you really love the light? Do you really love me? Do you really want to share in my happiness? Then why don't you walk in the light? And for me, a lot of times I was like, I can't talk about it. And it just hurt. And it was so scary. And it felt like, I almost felt nauseous. But when you feel nauseous, what's the best way to get over that? You got to just throw it up, right? That's what you got to do. And with sin, that's exactly what you got to do with sin too. You got to throw it up. You got to get rid of it. And then you'll feel better. And sometimes you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, I don't. Maybe next week will be better to talk about it. This is a bad time. Or, oh man, I'm not going to see him for a while and I can't talk to him, so it's going to be hard right now. But, no, you got to talk about it. It's never going to be easy. There's never going to be a time where it's like, oh, this is, oh, I feel so great talking about my sin. Oh, this feels so good. That doesn't happen. That doesn't exist. You have to talk about your sin, and it's always uncomfortable. That's why at the L&D study, people start shaking, because it's uncomfortable talking about their sin. And for us, we have to say, okay, I'm just going to talk about it. I'm just going to get it out into the open. And then God can let the light in, and what does the light do? It just cleans all the darkness out. Like when you have a room, and you have a ton of, let's say there's like cockroaches or something in there. And you turn that light on, what happens to the cockroaches? They take off. They're gone. They're not staying in the light. We have sin in our lives sometimes, and if we don't get the light in there, those cockroaches are going to get a lot worse in your life. And until you start dealing with them, they're going to get worse and worse and worse until they take down the whole house, and you're just going to have to burn it down. And for us, we run from the light, even as disciples. Because we think, but I go to church. That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says. I go to church. But we can't share in our master's happiness when we're holding sin in our hearts. It's tearing you down. It's not tearing anybody else down except you. And we got to say, man, I got to be real about everything. Just get it all open. Just throw it all up. Get it all out. Just do it. For me, it's hard sometimes. But I know I got to say, okay, I know what my sin is. One time, I was with my discipler, and I wrote out a whole page of all my sin. And I just said, bro, for D time, let's just read through all my sin here. And it was embarrassing. I had to talk about pride and how sometimes I feel like I'm better than other people. And you don't like, if when you're prideful, you don't like saying that to other people. Like, I don't want to tell other people I feel like I'm better than them, you know? But I got to keep it real because I got to hate pride. That stuff is sick. It destroys my relationships. It destroys everything, you know? I don't want to be a man of pride. I want to be a man of humility. Because God doesn't bless a man of pride. Or impurity. You know, a lot of times guys don't want to talk about it. But if you don't get open, it's going to take you down. And I think we really got to see, man, I got to be a man of openness or a woman of openness if you're a sister. You know, Genesis 4:7. Let's just go really quick just to look into this. Real quick. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
But Cain ended up murdering Abel.
Yep. Yeah.
That's not a good relationship between brothers right there.
Right.
Let's look at what God says to Cain. He says in verse 6, he says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted?"
Wow.
Then we'll just stop right there.
Come on, bro.
If you do what's right, will you not be accepted?
That's right, bro.
Like, we think, no, if I do what's right, people are going to think I'm weird. If I talk about my sin, people are going to think I'm something's wrong with me. And we don't talk about it. But we got to say, man, I got to be open. I got to talk about it. Because if you do what's right, you will be accepted.
Yes.
People will see, man, this is a disciple of courage right here.
Yes.
And I think for us, we got to say, man, I got to have that kind of courage to really say, I'm going to get open about my life. And then God's light is able to shine in. And then we're able to share in our master's happiness. And then it's all good after that. And then you're, guess what? You're closer with the person, which is awesome.
Yes.
And then they're close to you for the rest of your life. Like, there's disciples back in Los Angeles that I still talk to because I confess so much sin to them.
Yeah.
There's people in Hawaii I still talk to, like Kyle Bartholomew. I still talk to him. Why? Because I just confess my sin to him every single day. And that's all that built our relationship. And I think for us, we got to see, man, how open are you really with your sin? Are you really getting open? I think that's such a huge point because I've seen so many disciples leave the church because they're not open about their sin. And I don't want that to be anybody in here. Or anybody in the kingdom. But if you're not open about your sin, Satan is going to take you out. Satan has a foothold.
Yeah.
I think for us, we got to say, okay, I want to share my master's happiness, so I need to get open about my sin.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Awesome. All right, point two, finish the race. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that in a race, 1 Corinthians 9, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Finish the race. Right here, it's amazing because Paul's talking about the Olympic Games. And he's saying, man, here's how the games are. You got to run like you're going to get the prize. That's how you finish the race. Let's go to Matthew 13, because there's a parallel scripture right here. Matthew 13, it says, one second. All right, hold on. I'm looking for this right now. Oh, man. Okay, well, it's not in Matthew 13. Amen. It's the one about the narrow and wide gates, and it says you need to make every effort. I think it might be Luke 13, but I'm not sure. Luke 13?
Yeah.
Okay, go to Luke 13. Thanks. All right, so we're going to talk about the broad road and the narrow road. And for me, this really convicts me because of what this word actually means when you read it. And we're going to look at what the difference is when you want to finish the race, because there's two different ways that you do this. Check this out. It says in verse 22, "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door." And it's a very interesting thing, like what he's saying. He says, make every effort, which when you look in the Greek means to strive, as like you're striving in the games, as if you're running the race. You have to make every effort, like you're going for first place, to be able to enter through the doors. Because we think a lot of times it's only the desire that matters. Because that's what the religious world will say. And I think sometimes it starts seeping in here, okay, as long as I have the desire, as long as I try, God's going to see my effort and say, okay, you're good. But that's not what God says. And Paul says, no, I'm running as if I'm trying to get the prize. And I think for us, we got to think, man, how am I running the race? Because when you want to share in your master's happiness, you got to go with it with all your heart. You know what I'm saying? You got to like just say, I'm going all the way. I'm not holding back at all. I'm going to be able to run the race with everything I got. And when you do it like that, then Jesus says, and Paul says, that you're going to be able to finally share your master's happiness. But a lot of times, it's like, man, it's so hard. Yeah. Or it's hard to do it every single day. For me, there was a race that I ran. It was an interesting race because it was a Halloween race. And I decided that I was going to dress up as a nun when I ran this race right here. So I'm dressed up as a nun, and I'm just trucking through this 5K, right? And I had a long dress on. And I have running shoes. And I was like, I'm going with all my heart right here. Because the more people I beat, the funnier it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? The more people I get in front of, the more awesome it's going to be. And so I was like, okay, I'm running, 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 running. I ran with all my heart. And it was funny. And then finally, by the end of the race, there's a guy, he comes up to me. He's like, you know, when I was a kid, I used to get beat by nuns. I never thought it would happen now. Fired up. And then I was like, I got more ambitious. This is actually as I was a fallaway. So I was a lot of times trying to do these things to kind of make up for everything else. So it's kind of like a weird attempt to like be happy with my life. But one time I was running a marathon and I saw something really interesting. Halfway through it, people start giving up. Because it's 26 miles long. So you're talking 13 miles and people are like, dude, I got 13 more miles to run here. And when it's 85 degrees out, that's a challenge. And that what was happening. And so people are falling off. And so you start seeing, man, the person who really wants to get to the end is the person that's going to make every effort to get to the end. Because it's not easy to complete a marathon. And a lot of times you see those people who don't, and it's just because they wanted to, right? They desired to go to the end. They got the number and they got in the race. And they're fired up when the gun goes off and everybody starts. But then once it got further, because they didn't really make every effort, they never made it to the end. Right. Is that going to happen for us? Is there somebody in here that says, you know what, I'm going to try, hopefully I'll make it. But you're not making every effort.
Right.
Because it's hard. For me, I'll admit it. It's hard to make every effort every single day. But it gets tough. But that's what we got to do. There's that whole thing, if you're trying, you're lying. And I think for us, we got to remember that. If you're trying, you're lying. Because you're not really going to make it to the end. So we got to say, okay, no more trying. I'm just going to push everything I got. It's like you're getting up on a diving board and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to jump off this diving board and just go into the pool. You're either committed or you're not committed. You know what I'm saying? You're either on the diving board or you're in the air falling into the water. And that's exactly how it is for us as disciples. We're either sitting on the diving board looking and saying, should I do it? Should I do it? But if you're doing that, you're not committed yet. The only way to really be committed is you got to say, okay, I'm jumping. And you jump off. Now you're committed. And that's the kind of heart we got to have. I'm just going all the way into this. I'm going to be a disciple with all my heart. I'm not going to hold back anything. And if I do that, then that's real commitment. And then that's the attitude that Jesus is looking for. And then that's when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Because he sees, man, you are giving all your heart. You are committed. But there's no in between. Even if you're standing with 1 foot off and 1 foot on the diving board, you're still on the diving board. You got to be all the way in the air, going down, scared, not knowing what's going to happen, but just trusting when I land, that water's going to be taking care of me when I hit it. And that's the same thing as a disciple. You're saying, okay, I'm jumping off this. I'm going all the way into God's hands. And as I fall into God's hands, I know He will be taking care of me as I'm falling into that. And so many times we don't trust God and we're afraid to go all the way in. And it holds us back and it could take us out because we're not trusting God the way He wants to be trusted. And He's going to keep putting you in those situations until you finally get it. So you're going to just keep going in that circle. I don't know if you like going in circles, but I don't like going in circles. And until you trust God, it's going to keep happening.
Right.
And so you just got to say, okay, I got to make sure that I go all the way, that I'm totally committed here.
Wow.
You got to finish the race. And for us, you know, there's things we got to finish. Like special missions is coming up.
Yeah.
We already finished in New York, which was awesome. But I think for us, you know, you get scared and you're like, man, it's coming up. This is scary. We did this one thing where we went on the train every single Friday. And as we're on the train, we would sing songs for the whole train. And you'd think like people were going to be really mad at you, right?
No.
But people loved it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the next week we did it and the group got bigger. And then the third week we did it and the group was really small. And I was like, amen. But I was like, we got to finish this. And we did it the fourth week. And over the past month, we raised $300 just in about 3 hours on the subway.
Wow.
But we're like, we're going to finish it. We're going to keep going.
Come on.
But it's tempting to say, I don't know if I can finish this.
Yeah.
You know, this is hard. But you got to say, okay, I'm not just going to try.
Right.
I'm going to go after it totally.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that means you got to make a fool of yourself. And you got to go around to all the businesses and say, hey, can you give us money for church? Or you just got to go ask your family members and say, hey, we're doing a special missions contribution. Will you help me out? But let me tell you, when you blow it out, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Like, we were supposed to have $37,500 and we raised $46,000 for New York City. We're like, man, this is awesome. And it made all those times where I felt like an idiot on the train worth it. And we're all united. And we're all sharing in the happiness at the end. But when you don't make it, you're not sharing in your master's happiness right there. Because you're like, man, this was hard and I could have done more and I didn't do more.
Yeah.
And for us to make it, we had to go beyond what we were supposed to give. And that has to be our hearts as disciples. Is okay, I'm going to go beyond what is really required. Because that's the only way you're really going to make it. Because that's what God says. Amen?
Amen.
You know, for me, I always think there's a way to make it to the final victory. I need to first know where I'm going. Then I need to read and pray. Then I need to have faith. And then that faith leads to action. And then those victories finally lead to my final victory, which is heaven.
Amen.
But there's something else that can happen. Let's go to James. James 1. Really quick. And it says in verse 14, this is really interesting. It says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. there's a pattern that happens with sin too.
Right.
Going to heaven is a pattern, right? You got to be close to God, share your faith, be open about your life. But going to hell, there's also a pattern.
Yeah.
And this isn't talking for non-Christians right here. Because it's talking about your sinful nature. It's talking about temptation. Non-Christians don't get tempted. They just sin. And you look, okay, where does this process start? I like to call this the five stages of death right here.
Yeah.
And you look, okay, where does it begin though? Because you got to find the beginning of it to be able to kill it.
Yeah.
And it says, okay, let's look at it. It says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. A lot of times people say, oh, it's your temptation where it starts. No, it's saying each one's tempted when something's about to happen. So then they're like, oh, it's your evil desire. No, that's the cause of the whole thing that's about to happen. It says, each one's tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away.
Wow.
The first part of death is when you're dragged away.
Yeah. Wow.
But what are you dragged away from? Like, what is it that I get dragged away from? I get dragged away from my relationship with God.
Right.
And in Proverbs 27:7, it says, he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. You know what that means? It means when you're full, you don't want any more food. But when you're really hungry, you'll eat like the worst stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And so for us, a lot of times, when we're not full on God, we start eating the worst stuff spiritually. We start saying, man, this stuff looks really good. When really, it's the worst thing for you. And you're like, oh, but it looks so enticing. But you know why it's looking enticing? Because you're getting dragged away. You're not full on God anymore. And when that happens, it starts looking good to you. Starts looking good to me. Starts looking good to any disciple. Because that's how we're designed. If we're not close to God, then Satan's going to come after us. And what happens after you're enticed? Well, after Satan keeps enticing you, eventually guess what happens? You desire it, right? And when you desire it, if you want something long enough, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get it. We know how to get what we want as humans. If you want something, it happens. You get it. And for us, a lot of times, we don't see, man, if you don't get rid of that desire, you're going to give in to the next stage, which is what? Sin. And so, how radical do you deal with your temptation? How radical do you deal when you're feeling enticed? Or your relationship with God? Because it's like, man, that is our only hope. Like, that is what we have to rely on. And if we don't, then we're going to get dragged away. And eventually what happens, if you don't repent of the sin, death.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I don't want that. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for me, especially. But since I love my brothers, myself, I don't want that for anybody in here, anybody in New York City, anybody out in Los Angeles, anybody in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to remember, man, you got to make sure you're being open and dealing with the enticement, the desire, and if you don't, you got to deal with that sin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. Awesome. All right. Last point, faith. Keep the faith.
Come on, man.
Amen. Let's go to Colossians 1:23.
Come on, bro.
Amen. It says in verse 23. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Amen.
And Paul's saying, listen, if you continue in your faith, here's what's going to happen. Every creature under heaven is going to hear the word of God.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
But what is faith? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, it says in verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so, what is the definition of faith? It's being certain of what you hope for, sure of what you don't see. That's what faith is. and it's amazing to have it, but it's also very miserable not to have it. Because everything just seems uncertain. And you're just not sure about anything. And you're just like, man, it's just rough as a disciple. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Why? Just because you don't have faith. And Paul knew, man, we are going to evangelize the world. Mark 6, let's look at what happens without faith. It says in verse 1. Actually, let's start verse 4. It says, Jesus said to them, only in his hometown among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. You know, for me in my life, there's been times where nothing has ever happened. Like, there's one time I did 50 studies one semester. No baptisms.
Wow.
And you're like, man, what is wrong? I'm saying the Bible with people, they're always getting to the end, but nobody's getting baptized. And then I had a conversation with somebody that said, you know, the reason why is it's because you just don't have faith. Because you're more surprised when somebody is going to make it than when they don't make it. You know, like when somebody's like, yeah, I want to be a disciple. You're like, what? You want to be a disciple? Are you serious? Do you know what you're talking about right now? And that's a lack of faith. That's a faithless response. Faith is saying, no, I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to be a disciple. I know it's coming. And I don't care what you say, because I know for certain that you're going to be a disciple. So even if you don't call me back, I know you're coming to church on Sunday. And even if you get mad at me during the study, I know you're going to come back and we're going to have an awesome time tomorrow. And that's what faith really is, because you say, I'm sure of what I want. And I want you to become a Christian. And when you go after that, people understand, man, okay, this person believes in me. Because becoming a disciple is a crazy task when you're not a Christian. You're like, hold on, you want me to give up what? I got to do what? And if you're like, yeah, that's really hard. Then they're going to be like, yeah, you're right, I can't do it. But if you have faith and say, no, this, what are you talking about? This is easy. You're going to be a disciple. Just do it. Just give it up. They're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like, there's a brother out in Los Angeles I study with, and we did the kingdom study. And he was like, okay. He's like, Mike, I feel like you're really pushy on me, and I feel like you just want me to get baptized.
Yeah.
And that's where my faith kind of got tested right there. Because you're like, oh, he's right. I am really being pushy, and I do want him to get baptized. But then I was like, but he's going to get baptized. Like, I got to think like that. He is getting baptized. So I told him, I was like, Mason, you're right. I am being pushy right now. And I do want you to get baptized. And you do feel pressure. I was like, but hell is definitely a bigger pressure than what I'm putting on you right now. God puts pressure on you. And then he's like, oh, okay, sounds good. And you see, man, that's what faith can do for somebody. But we need the faith. Like, I know, man, I got to check my faith every single day. And I think for us, we got to say, do we really believe? Or do we doubt? Or do we doubt? And because when you doubt, Jesus can't do the miracles. God has created it so that when we doubt, it limits Jesus' work in our life. And so when we doubt Jesus, and when we're faithless, and when we think, I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm not certain of what I hope for, then God won't be able to do anything. Until you repent and get faith. Because in Hebrews it says, what pleases God? Faith pleases God. And if faith pleases God, then guess what doesn't please God? Faithlessness. And if something doesn't please God, guess what it is? It's sin, right? And what do you do when you're in sin? You repent. You don't grow out of it. You don't say, oh man, maybe one day I'm going to not have this sin. Man, maybe there's going to be a great day where I'm just a strong disciple and I'm not in sin like I am right now. With faith, you got to just say, no, I'm going to repent of this stuff and I'm going to have faith. One time I was in BMCC and I was going to go share my faith by myself. And I was just sitting there and I was like, nobody's open. Nobody's open right now. I know it. I know nobody in this whole room is open. And I was like, okay, I'm faithless. Because people are, the Bible says they are open. It's like the harvest is plentiful. Why am I thinking like this? And I was like, okay, hopefully I can grow out of this. And I tried growing out of it. And it didn't work. And I'm still faithless like a half an hour later, sitting in the cafeteria like, oh, I still don't believe it. And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm in sin right now. That's really what's going on. I just don't believe the Bible and I just need to flat repent. And then when I repented, I went out and like people were giving me their numbers left and right. And I was like, man, it just takes faith. It just takes repenting of your faithlessness. And then God can work. And I think something starts happening. And I remember this lady told me this when I was in the world as a bartender. And she said at the bar, she was a really pretty older Latin girl. And she was telling me about her life. She had fallen into adultery. This guy had tried to seduce her. And she tells me something. She says, you know, I just decided I'm not going to expect anything anymore. Because every time I expect something, I just get let down. So if I don't expect things, then I'm never feeling down. And I was like, man, she's so wise. Until I became a disciple. And then you realize, man, that woman lived for pleasure. She came in, she got drunk, she hooked up with guys at the bar because she didn't expect anything in her life. And for us as disciples, that's what happens.
Right.
We can stop living by faith. We can stop expecting things. And you start turning to pleasure instead.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to have your dreams.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to say, you know what, this is what I want. And it's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm going to make it. I'm going to have faith. And I'm not going to doubt. And for me, that's like a daily battle every single day. Like, this is going to be awesome. This talk I'm going to have with this person is going to be awesome. It's going to be the best talk I've ever had in my life with this person. But what's amazing is when I have that attitude, it becomes the best talk I've ever had in my life. And when I pray for somebody when they're speaking, I'm like, they're going to give the best sermon they've ever given in their life right now. Then DJ does it. It's like, wow, that was the best sermon I ever heard in my life. I was like, dude, having faith is awesome. It's almost like you have like superpowers. You know, you're like, man, all I have to do is want something, and as long as I'm doing good and God's with me, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And so that's how we have to think a lot of times with faith. Every time, not a lot of time. Okay, I got to be faithful right there. Every time, you got to think like that. When you have faith, that's when it's going to definitely happen. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And if not, then you end up just turning to the world instead. Faith is huge. Let's go back to 2 Timothy.
Come on, bro.
Second Timothy 4. And right here in verse 17. Here our awesome brother Paul is speaking about the end of his life. And he says in verse 17, he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
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 And Paul ended his life saying, God is going to take me home right now. He's like, but I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there lays in store for me a crown of righteousness. And for us, I think we got to say, okay, after this retreat, what are we going to go do? Are we going to say, I'm going to share my master's happiness? Or are we going to go back and just do exactly what we were doing before and not make any decisions? I think if there's sin in your life, you got to say, okay, I'm going to be open about it today. And if you know there's sin in somebody else's life, you got to talk to them and try to get them open about it today.
Yeah.
And if there's something you need to grow in, then you need to go pray about it. And if there's a decision you need to make, you need to have somebody hold you accountable for that decision. But we got to say, man, what are the decisions we're going to make after this retreat? Because God says, I want you to share my happiness. God didn't give us something more beyond what we could bear. So that means God wants all of us to share the happiness, and we can all make it. Is that awesome? So we got to make sure, okay, we will make it, but we just need to make sure I'm going to give it all my heart. I'm not going to back down. And I'm going to go all the way. And to God be the glory. Amen.